the 10th. We start the Monday after Easter. It's coming soon. If you or your group can spare a couple of hours of time, April 6th through the 10th, just call Cheryl Bertile at 877-288-1077 or send her an email at volunteer@AveMariaRadio.net. Another easy way to help is to go to our homepage at AveMariaRadio.net and click the volunteer button. God bless you. Comes From Above, the program that explores the intersection of music and faith. And I am your co-host, Deacon Tom Lowy.
And I'm Sister Sarah Burdick. And I'm glad to be here with you and all of our listeners, all
700 of them. 78,000 of
thousands.
Them.
Yes, right. We don't know who's out there, but if you're listening, thank you.
Yeah, thank
for
you.
Tuning
and
in.
Welcome. Welcome very
and
much.
And welcome.
Yeah, we opened with what is going to be our subject for today's program here. As we go deep into Lent, as you're listening, we are close on hand of coming up to Holy Week, and so we decided to do some music that is reflective of that time in church history and when we actually hear the Passion of Christ. Today we're going to be listening to the seven last words of our Redeemer from the cross, which was composed by Joseph Haydn in 1787. And it's a wonderful piece. We heard the introduction, the Metoso et Adagio. The word Adagio is actually kind of important in our understanding of what this work really is, because an Adagio is a slow movement, basically, sometimes it's very emotional. And I think if you were sort of letting the music take over in your heart as you were listening, I'm sure that you could find that really quickly with this. For him to go and write seven adagios in a row, seven last words, seven adagios, and not have it to be kind of tedious or troublesome for the listeners, is a very difficult thing, and it shows what a great composer he is that he can do that. The work basically takes us through all the traditional seven last words of Christ.
And I think we need to clarify something. When we say the seven last words, we don't mean literally seven.
Right.
Right? Because I remember I used to try to work this out. I'm like, wait a minute, into your hands I commit my spirit. Wait, that's nine.
Yeah, so can't use that one.
No,
yeah.
So it's more like a series of phrases, I suppose.
Right, right. Seven last statements.
Yes.
Seven
right.
last statements of Christ. And of course, the tradition is to call it the words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But Haydn has done something very remarkable here with this. I should probably give a little bit of a background, and then we'll go and launch into a little discussion of one of those statements by Jesus from the cross. And we'll just keep going until we basically cover it as much as we can in today's program. This was first done in, as I said, 1796-97. Haydn was actually quite an older man at that time. I mean, he lived until 1809, but this was towards the end of his career as a composer. And it was composed for a church in Spain, in the town of Cadiz, which I believe is in southern Spain. Someone might call and correct me on that, but I believe I've got that right. And it was during Lent that it was first performed. It was performed first in as an instrumental, and later on words were actually, it became an oratorio. People would actually sing the words to it. But it was first originally intended completely instrumental, and that's the way we're going to be listening to it today. What would happen in the church was that they would mask all of the windows. Everything would be covered. All the statuary, everything. The church would be completely black, and the only light would be a central candelabra or a stand of lights. And they would light those candles, and then the priest would come up to the ambo, would pronounce one of the statements of Christ from the cross, and then he would preach on it for a period of time, and then he would go and in front of the altar and lay down. Okay, lay prostrate, and then the music would come in.
Interesting.
As a commentary for what was just said.
Yeah, time to really meditate on those words.
Exactly right. None of these works, by the way, is more than maybe 10 or 12 minutes in its entire run. So they're actually fairly short for adagios. Okay, they're not extended, but at the same time they're long enough for us to really delve into or understand what is being said. I think I've explained it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first one that we want to go take a look at today is this would be Woman, Behold Your Son. Let me read this from the Stations of the Cross. First of all, we're going to open with as it begins. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Now this is from John chapter 19.
Now there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary of Cleophas, and Mary of Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. So that's the passage that we will hear a musical reflection on in just a moment. But sister, I think that it's a good passage for us to go and think about. And you know what an amazing thing that has just happened, where he tells his mother, he calls her woman, and that in itself has got some real theological depth to it. But he says, "Behold your son." Now, by the way, for many people, especially, you know, you hear some of our Protestant brothers and sisters talking about how Jesus had brothers and sisters and, you know, his family. You know, you often hear them say those things. But this is an indication that he really didn't. Because if his brother was there, you know, with mom, okay, sure. at the foot of the cross, he would have said to, you know, to his brother, you know, this is take care of mom. But that's not what he does. Okay, he says to the disciple. By the way, I think the word "the" in that "the disciple" is very important because it actually indicates us as well. All right, you know, behold your mother, and then he says, behold, you know. Behold your son is the first thing he says, and then he says, "Behold your mother."
Yeah.
Behold her. Take care of her. You know, it's beautiful.
You know,
beautiful
there it is. You know, Jesus hanging on the cross, and not once in his whole lifetime, and especially not even on the cross, does he think of himself, but he's thinking about his mother, and he's thinking about the disciple. He's thinking about us. Making sure that he leaves his mother with us. What a gift from the cross.
Yeah, really, really. And you know, we can only imagine what that must have been like for Mary.
Yeah.
To be in this situation. First of all, she brought Jesus into the world. she knew him from the very beginning, when he fell down and scraped his knee, and you know all the things that children do, you know, she probably consoled him when he was in tears, and she probably laughed with him when he was filled with joy, and she watched him grow up and become a strong man. You know, she watched her husband Joseph as he also assisted her in raising this child. We know the stories of when they went to the temple and he got lost. I mean, all these memories that she has, and now all of a sudden, there we have her son, who has been nailed to a cross, who's bleeding heavily, who is in great pain, who probably can barely breathe, and what does this mean? I mean, you know, he's a convict, he's a criminal.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I love that passage in John when it says, "And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home." You know, you could spend a lot of time talking about that word home, but basically took her into not just a physical home, but took her into his life and all that entailed. And I think it's an invitation for us. If you've never done that with the Blessed Mother, that invitation is still there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take the Blessed Mother into your home, into your activities, into your workplace. Remember, you have a perfect mother. You know, who really wants to help us. And it's easy to forget that, I think. You know, that the Blessed Mother really is there to intercede for us. You know, I know people that pray the prayer to Our Lady, Undoer of Knots.
Oh, yes.
You know, and, you know, what is the knot about? Well, the knot is about, you know, what Eve did by her sin, right? The knot that was tied, the knot that sort of speak, cut us off from that life. And Mary's, that was Eve's no, and it's Mary's yes that undoes,
right.
that knot,
right.
You know? And Mary's very good at interceding for us. So I just want to encourage you, invite our Blessed Mother into your home.
That's right, yeah. You know, I mean, this, you're listening to Ave Maria Radio, Hail Mary, Hail Mary Radio. I mean,
So
Mary has a very special place in our hearts. And maybe we should just go into this, beautiful adagio. This is from the seven last words of our Redeemer from the Cross. The composer is Joseph Haydn. The quartet that we're listening to is the Mosaic Quartet, and the performance was done at the Fontevraud Abbey in France in 1992. Let's listen to Woman, Behold Your Son.
Thank you. This program is made possible in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, dedicated to helping grow businesses for a strong community of faith and Christian values. CatholicBusinessPages.com is your online directory resource for connecting you with businesses that have taken a strong stand to support those values that impact our lives. If Christian principles make a difference in your life, then CatholicBusinessPages.com will link you to business professionals who care about the values of our nation. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
After a conversation complaining about the many stresses in my life, a good friend emailed me some positive responses. See, God has positive answers for it all. You say it's impossible, but God says all things are possible. Just read Luke. I'm too tired, you may say, but God says I'll give you rest. Just read Matthew. Nobody really loves me. You may tell yourself that, but God says I love you. And you can say, I can't go on. But God replies, my grace is sufficient. And then you say, I can't figure things out. I can't do it. I'm not able, or it's not worth it. But you know what God says? I'll direct your steps. You can do all things through Christ. I'm able, and it will be worth it. And you may even feel alone. But God replies, I'll never leave you or forsake you. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communication evangelist.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. Join me and my guests as we try to develop conversations of consequence. It's talk radio where God matters, looking at all life through the lens of the Scripture and the teaching of Christ Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on 990 WDEO. This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Magnanos from Above, the program that explores the intersection of music and faith. I'm your co-host, Deacon Tom Lowy.
And I'm Sister Sarah Burdick, and I'm enjoying this show.
It is really beautiful. Beautiful music. We're really enjoying this very, very much. This is taken from Joseph Haydn's Seven Last Words of Our Redeemer from the Cross. It's a 1797 composition that was premiered in a church in Spain, and it has to do with the seven last things that were said from the cross by Jesus. The performers are the Mosaic Quartet. This was actually performed in 1992 at the Fontevraud Abbey in France, and wonderful piece. We open the second half with "Today You Will Be With Me in Paradise," a powerful passage, and one that we could certainly discuss. Let's go and take a look at from the Stations of the Cross itself. Here's the passage. And by the way, I think I'm going to read the response as well as the scripture setting. The scripture setting is taken from Luke, and we'll go into that a little bit here. But it's when they came to Golgotha, the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus and the robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And then he goes into this wonderful passage from Psalm 21. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my prayer, far from the words of my cry. Oh my God, I cry out by day and you answer not. I cry out by night and there is no relief for me. All my bones are racked. My heart has become like wax melting away within my chest. My throat is dried up like baked clay. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. This gives you an idea of the terror and the oppression and the great pain and sadness that our Lord went through on the cross. Two men next to him, one on the right, one on the left, and he says to one of them, in response to something that a little discussion that goes on between these condemned men, that today you will be with me in paradise. Sister, you're writing feverishly here, but
I know. You want to know why?
Yeah, please.
Because I have a quote from Pope Francis about that very verse.
Stop it!
But,
really?
Yep. But the problem. The problem is I can't read it.
Oh, okay.
It's so small. No, but I can read portions of it anyway.
That's because your own hand is too small for you to read, right?
No.
Do you want my glasses?
Yeah, maybe that'll help. Yeah. I mean, this is really sad, but it's a good quote from Pope Francis. Let's see if this helps. Oh, my gosh, I can't see a thing.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
You can
hand me my glasses.
I got it. Okay. So this actually, those that are listening, all seven of you.
7,000.
And those of you that are, you know, not driving and you're just sitting there in the comfort of your own home, you could actually write this down and look it up yourself. But this is from a homily from Pope Francis at the closing of the Year of Faith. This was dated 11/24/13. So this is from our Holy Father. And he says, "Jesus' promise to the good thief gives us great hope. It tells us that God's grace is always greater." And greater than what? You're going to have to read it to find out the rest.
Because you can't read it out of your own.
Because I can't read that.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, think about the tremendous mercy of God that those who were crucified on the right and those that were crucified on the left, they deserved it, right?
Oh, yeah.
They deserved that punishment. But yet, you know, and I think we can learn something from who we always call the good thief.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he basically recognizes that, you know what, this is a just sentence for me. This is what I deserve. But Jesus, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve it. I deserve it. So, you know, I think a lesson that we can learn is look at the great mercy of God, that even before he took his last breath, what does he do?
Mm-hmm.
He extends that mercy and that forgiveness and that promise of eternal life.
Right.
So, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, anyone that's listening out there, if you feel like, you know what, I'm beyond reach, God couldn't love me, he could never extend his mercy to me, I just want to say, please, 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 simply say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. He is more eager to extend that forgiveness than you are to receive it.
Oh, that's absolutely right. Let me go and read from that section. This is from Luke. This would be chapter 23, and it begins at verse 39. And I think this is really powerful. It says, one of the criminals hanging in crucifixion blasphemed him. He said, aren't you the Messiah? Then save yourself and us. Interesting.
He's kind of joining the crowds in that
right.
mockery.
Right, but he also, if you're the Messiah, get me out of here.
Yeah, come on.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, get
so he's
out
really,
of the
he's really giving him a hard time.
Yeah.
And then the other one says, but the other one rebuked him. He rebuked the man who was blaspheming the Messiah. He says, have you no fear of God? Mm-hmm. Seeing you are under the same sentence, the sentence of death, obviously. He says, we deserve it.
Yeah,
after
there you
all.
Go.
We are only paying the price for what we've done. But this man has done nothing wrong. That's very interesting. But there's this act of charity from that man. And then he says to Jesus, he says, remember me when you enter upon your reign. And Jesus replied, I assure you, this day, you will be with me in paradise.
Okay, guess what?
Okay.
More from our Holy Father.
Oh, good. Okay.
Pope Francis, because I left you hanging.
You did.
All right, so I'll start it again. So this is from the Holy Father's homily at the closing of the Year of Faith in November of 2013. He said, Jesus' promise to the good thief gives us great hope. It tells us that God's grace is always greater than the prayer that sought it. What's his prayer?
Ooh.
He simply says, Lord, remember me. He's just asking
That's
to
right.
be remembered.
That's exactly right, yeah.
So God's grace is always greater than the prayer that sought it. The Lord always grants more than what is asked. Whoa.
Hold on.
Thank
to
you,
that.
Holy Father.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's a quote. That's a quote to remember.
Even though you can't read it,
no,
but it's a
no,
quote
no,
to remember.
No, you couldn't read
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah, we can hear it, though. Listen, we're going to go keep moving on here. It's a wonderful recording and a beautiful performance. This is taken from the 12th station, okay? And this is when Jesus says, it is finished. Consummatum est. Oh, yeah. Isn't that lovely? That's a beautiful piece. That's from Joseph Haydn's Seven Last Words of Our Redeemer from the Cross. By the way, this is found on the Astrea OVDs. I'm sorry, OVDs label. It's a French label and probably kind of hard to find, but I encourage you to go.
Good luck with it.
Go look. Well, no, look for it. Look for the quartet version of the Seven Last Words by Joseph Haydn, I think, and I'm sure if you're looking for it, you'll come across this. We just heard It Is Finished, Consummatum Est. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the curtain of the temple was torn in the middle, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, It is finished. Mm-hmm. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then, bowing his head, he died. So we hear that tragedy, mm-hmm. of course, which is it's the great tragedy, but it ends with such redemption.
That's right.
You know, it's so purposeful in ways that we'll never really understand, a greater mystery than we can even contemplate. Well, listen, Sister Sarah, thanks for being my co-host.
Oh, where do you
today.
Think I'm going? Oh, well, we're almost done.
Yeah, we're almost done.
I'm going to leave him with one thought.
Okay, quick.
Okay, I have to go back to the thief.
Be quick.
Super fast.
Okay,
think about this. You ask God, he asked Jesus to remember him, and he brought him into his kingdom. The Lord is going to grant more than you can ask.
Amen. That's a good way to end
it. Just saying.
Let's go and close with the final section. This is the earthquake. And this is from Joseph Haydn's Seven Last Words of Our Redeemer from the Cross on Notes from Above.
Faith is represented in the mainstream media. Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
Here's a Family Minute with child psychologist Dr. Ray Guarendi from Ave Maria Radio.
Is discipline kind? I asked that question yesterday, didn't I? And I'm going to ask it all this week because I believe discipline is ultimately kind. As we said yesterday, discipline gets a bad rap. It's not a popular concept nowadays. But God designed it so that reality ultimately wins. Discipline is a loving, durable gift. Why is discipline kind? Let me give you the first reason. Because you see, you are your child's first teacher about life. You love that child. You want to kindly teach that child, holding him or her accountable. If you don't, And let's double underline this next part. The world will. You do not want the world to discipline your child. The world does not love your child. The world does not give mitigating circumstances. The world's lessons are not soft.